Thank you, folks. Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Daniel, chapter 1. See if I can get my furniture rearranged here. You ladies know about that, don't you? It don't feel any better when you rearrange it. It just looks better in your mind, don't it? How many of you ever changed it back after you changed it one time? Yes. Somebody said that's a woman's prerogative. Yeah, but it's a husband's hurting back. Let me talk to you a little bit about the book of Daniel. We're going to begin to go through it, and ultimately we'll go through the whole book, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. I may not stay with it the whole time without once in a while deviating to a special lesson that I feel like we need. The reason I'm doing it is because I'm lazy. I've got to teach it in college starting Thursday, and I thought, what better than to practice on my class? Watch out, I give the students a test. You know that, don't you? So you might be subject to one too. Anyway, it's certainly important for us today, especially in the way things are shaping up, fulfilling the Bible so fast in the world today. The book of Daniel is apocalyptic, like the book of Revelation. It goes into the future, which of course makes the Bible stand by itself. No other book can do that. Take you into the future, and we of all people that have ever lived have got more evidence that the Bible is the Word of God than any group that's ever lived, because we've lived long enough to see the most prophecy fulfilled. And it makes it stand head and shoulders above any other so-called religious book. The so-called Muslim book, the Quran, does not make prophecy, does not predict. And some of the Buddhist writings and others, they try to say it does, but in all reality, you can't test it like you can the Bible. And some of you have seen on the TV, and maybe you've even read some of the writings of Nostradamus. Nostradamus did get a few things right, but the majority that he got right out of his Bible study. And the truth of the matter is, he didn't get that much right. Not only that, his followers read into their supposition after it's already happened and then try to go back and find it, place it in. They couldn't do that ahead of time. They had to do it after. They can try to read some things. And so, supposition. I always got to watch out for supposing. That word, I guess, supposition kind of has to do with the word suppose. And so many people will manufacture, invent, really out of whole cloth sometime, and then try to twist even the scripture to fit it. But that's not the way the Bible is. The Bible is very precise, and I was talking to somebody, I think, this week. I was telling them how the Lord wrote several things 2,500 years ago that we've seen come in the news in just the last 2 or 3 years. And that speaks for the Bible above everything else. Amen. Talk about the book of Daniel just a little bit. It was to the Jews what the book of Revelation is to us in the New Testament. However, the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation go together like hand and glove. And when you get the two of them and compare them, you find out some things that was hid from Daniel is taking place in the book of Revelation. But when we get to the end of Daniel, we'll find out there's still some things that we're just now beginning to see that God even held back from Daniel. Now, Daniel was like you and I. He had a curiosity. He wanted to find out, and God had to tell him to just go his way, that he'd stand in his lot one day. He wasn't going to tell him all ahead of time. And yet, we live in a time where we can see it matching the book of Revelation and things being fulfilled. Let me say just a few things about it. It was written probably in the 6th century, and that is a big item. The book of Daniel is 12 chapters. It's 357 verses. It's 11,606 words. So it's not one of the longest books by any means. But the events it covers such a tremendous period of history. And only God can write it and give it to us that way. It is the key to understanding the future as God winds things down. Now, Daniel was taken captive. Most of you know that. The Hebrew children were taken captive. Daniel was actually taken in the way in the first of three deportations. Now, Daniel lived contemporary, that means at the same time, with Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And in fact, we'll find out later in the book of Daniel that Daniel probably studied and had with him the writings of the prophet Jeremiah and studied them to find out what was going to happen. Now, the word Daniel actually means God is my judge. And we see that he and the other Hebrew children are taken away into captivity. We read in verse 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried in the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels unto the treasure house of his God. Now, let me say this. What happened here is exactly what's in the news today. A lot of folks don't understand it, but we got a contest of gods going on in the world. And America is about, I saw an interesting piece this week where you find this word in the begin to get in the news now. And some are even bold enough to write it in the paper a little bit. And that's called the Islamization of America. Did you get the word? Islamization of America. There is a big movement from the highest places down to make Islam equal with Christianity, but listen, they won't tolerate being equal.
That's right.
They intend to be it.
Amen.
And the caliphate that they're trying to carve out over there in Iraq and in the Middle East, they intend to carve out in America. They've already bragged they're going to put their flag on the White House. And I, for one, wouldn't be surprised to see that even before they conquer America, because they've got the ear of the highest people we've got elected, from the president and his cabinet. And I told somebody this week, I've seen a picture of it. The cabinet meeting with the president, I'm saying there's probably less than 40 people on that sits around that big table, 25 maybe. But one of them is a Muslim, and you can identify him by his dress. And he is there on purpose for any decision that's made at that table for him to advise them how it will affect Islam or whether or not they can have Islam's blessing on it. I'm talking about America. I'm talking about where we have slipped to. And so I got pictures laying on my desk coming in this week of American kids in public schools dressed in Islam outfits, Muslim outfits, including the burqa, and they got the face of the little girls, they are unveiled, and they're holding up signs in front of them, and the signs saying that they are against Islamophobia. In other words, all of you folks like this preacher, you got a disease called Islamophobia. I want to plead guilty. I've got it bad. Got a high fever with it. And I'm not going to lose it. I don't think there's any cure for me on that. I cannot believe our country. First place, I couldn't get off. I'll lose the book of Daniel here in a minute. But by the way, before we get out of the book of Daniel, I'm going to say something a little hard on some of you. Before you get out of the book of Daniel, you're going to get the best description of the Antichrist of any book in the Bible. Before we get out of the book of Daniel, you're going to find out what political party he's associated with. You say, really? Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's a political party that's not only in America, but it's America trying to export that same political party, trying to get all the rest of the world to join it. And that, folks, is where we're at. So when we get to the book of Daniel, we're not out of date. It might have been written in the 6th century, but the God that knows all about it wrote it all. And we'll get into some of that very, very plainly. We got the deportation here. That is, Nebuchadnezzar come in. He conquered Jerusalem. He conquered the king of Judah. And he takes away captive. And he takes away the treasures of the temple. And there's still a lot of debate about that even today. But it was prophesied and it was predicted. And you can find where it was predicted early in the Bible. If you can understand this much about it, I'd like for you to go and see how it was predicted in the Old Testament to start with, how it was prophesied, both in Isaiah and in 2 Kings. But let's go to 2 Kings to begin with. Let's go back there to 2 Kings chapter 20 and find it with me. I don't have mine marked, and I got one of my old Bibles that's fallen apart this morning. So somebody said, whoever owns a Bible that's fallen apart, they themselves are not falling apart. And there's a lot of truth to that, I think. 2 Kings chapter 20, we got the story of King Hezekiah, and we got the prophet, of course, Isaiah. So you can read about it in Isaiah's writing also. If you were to go over to Isaiah 39, you'd find it too. But I want to go back to see why the captivity come, and more than why, how it was so clearly predicted that it would come. Now, this is a chapter that most folks remember, because a miracle takes place in this chapter, 2 Kings chapter 20. Verse 1, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. Now, Hezekiah was a good king. He was one of the best Israel had. He was a little naive and let Ahab lead him wrong some, but God really blessed Hezekiah as a good king in Israel. So it says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, who wrote the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Now, Hezekiah's on the sick bed. The preacher comes to see him. He doesn't read him Psalms 23. He comes in with a hard message. You're going to die. God's told me you're going to die. And the prophet leaves. You've not got good bed manners. He just pretty abrupt. Verse 2. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. That's what the king did now, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. I've been a lot of bedsides when people found out they were going to die and die pretty quick, and I've seen some of these tears and understand them. Hezekiah here talks to God about it, begins to weep. And it came to pass before Isaiah had gotten his big car and left, says, it came to pass before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, to Isaiah. God said, okay, I got another message for you. Turn again. Tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, that's the grandfather, of course, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. Now, somebody says, does it do any good to pray? Well, it did here. Amen. I mean, just God had been very positive he was going to die. But now he sends him another message. All right, I've seen your tears. I've heard your prayer. I'm going to turn it around for you. And somebody says, can God change his mind? Well, he changed it here. Somebody says, prayer changeth things. No, God changeth things, but he lets us ask him through prayer. And corny illustration, but you can pray to the piano over there all day. The piano has no power to answer your prayers. Truth is, you pray where the power is, and the power is with God. Amen. And a lot of people pray into everything in the world but God. But anyway, Isaiah gets another message. He's told to turn around and to go back. Tell Hezekiah, I've heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day. Thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. Now, I like this part. He said, you go into church after you get healed. I've seen folks got healed and never come back to church. Oh, yeah, you wouldn't think that? Yes. I've seen folks get out of the habit of attending church because they honestly were sick. But when they got well, they'd already broke the habit. You say, could people be that way? Oh, yes. Pastor a while, you'd find out. Sad truth. That's the old fallen nature of man. You got to watch out for it. Anyway, that's not what happened with Hezekiah. Verse 6, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and the city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. Now here, he used some medicine. Lump of figs, and they took, laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Now, today I suspect doctors would tell you that boil was melanoma, cancer. I suspect they would. And you might take a lump of figs and lay it on your problem and it may not do nothing. But here God used it to do something. It's blessed of him. Did you see in the news on this Ebola thing, this virus that has no answer to it and how it's spreading over in the African countries and killing people? And you saw where Franklin Graham's team, Samaritan's Purse, was over there helping the folks, and how two of his people got it. And they brought them back to the States, but before they ever left there, they had this untested serum they were working with, and it had just enough, really, for one person. And I forget the man's name, but he said, give it to the lady. And he got a little bit of it that was left over. To shorten the story, most of you have seen it in the news. They did fly him back over here, put him in the hospital, but we had no answer in America for it. And they both recovered. Amen. What I liked on the news was this. By the way, they built some more of that serum, gave it to others, and they died. But those two have lived. And I saw the news people talking about it. I was pleasantly surprised when the doctor they were interviewing was talking about it, and a news lady was talking to him, and she raised the question about others getting it but dying. And he said something, the doctor said something to this effect, well, it was the serum, but it was mainly God. And she said, before she could catch herself, she said, amen. Right, I saw that. It was on Fox News, of course, but here's the point. That was live talk on TV, and it went around. And that is the key. No telling how many thousands of people was praying for those servants of the Lord there. And God can do it when God wants to do it. When God decides it's the right thing to do. Here, he changed his mind about Hezekiah and said, I'm going to add 15 more years to your life. You see that in verse 6? And I will add unto thy days 15 years, I'll deliver thee and this city. City was going to be under attack now out of the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my own sake, for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs. And they took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up, where? To church. Go up into the house of the Lord the third day. Now, God could have maybe got a little angry at Hezekiah because he asked for a sign. You got to be careful about that. But God was recording this for us. And so Hezekiah asked for a sign that what Isaiah had told him was true. Because, hey, just a few minutes before, he told him he's going to die. So the preacher comes back in, says, God spoke to me again. He's changed his mind. You're going to live. You're going to get 15 years. And the king says, what's the sign? I'll know this is true. Verse 9. And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shatter go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? Now, you know what he's talking about. That's the sundial. By the way, you can still use the sun to tell time today. And the sundial still is just as accurate as the sun is if you know how to read it. And I haven't done it for a long time, but I have done a little bit of it in the past. And so, shadow going forward, shadow going backwards in the sundial. And Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. In other words, it goes that way all the time. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. Now, if it does that, that's abnormal, that's unusual, that has to be God. And so he asked for a specific sign. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. That's the sundial. By the way, I know you've seen all the literature on it. I don't know how much of it's true or not, but there's a lot of writings about NASA and others now that we've got into the computer age and the big telescopes and all that. There's all kind of stories about them finding this 10 degrees that's missing. I don't know whether to believe it or not, because that's above my pay grade over there, the stuff they work with. But the Bible's not. And I didn't believe the Bible. And so if it moved that 10 degrees, God said it would, it did. That's all there is to it. I don't need NASA or anybody else to confirm it. Verse 12, at that time, I don't know how you pronounce his name, Berdakbaladan or something. Let's call him Joe. All right. The son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. Now look, see how things haven't changed much. You know what this is in verse 14? It's just a bunch of hot air. It's baloney. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about that's still the way politicians do today. That's still the way a head of one nation does. You see them on TV shaking hands and being friends, and the next news spot you had, they're cutting each other's throat. Human nature, man. And here's this king of Babylon now pretending to care about Hezekiah's health. You know what he'd rather seen? He'd rather see him die, because he's got mischief in mind. He's got robbery in mind. But he's going to pretend. Boy, the pretending it goes on today. Gotta watch out for it. I know some of the older preachers that's gone to heaven now, but when they begin to get older, which I will one day, when they begin to get older, younger preachers begin to speculate who's going to take his place. And I've seen some joking about that. I used to joke with Dr. Lee Robertson. So many preachers had come by after he getting right at retirement age, and they'd say, how you doing? How's your health? He and I joked a little bit about it. He finally got to where he said, well, I'm a long way from being dead yet. I joked with him. I said, when they shake hands with you, do you feel one of their fingers come up to test your pulse? Now, we joke about that sort of stuff, but that's what was going on right here. This king of Babylon, he didn't care. He wasn't wishing him well. He was just checking out to see how strong he was for other reasons. But in verse 13, Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment and all the house of his armor and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house nor in his dominion that Hezekiah showed them not. Now, Hezekiah was a good man. He was a good king. God just blessed him with 15 more years, but he done a dumb thing here. Very dumb. Almost as dumb as America today in some of our stuff. Do you know most of the world wouldn't have all the weapons of war if we hadn't give them away? And in fact, this ISIS that we're fighting right now is shooting our own weapons back at us. It's amazing stuff that common sense just won't, it won't add up with common sense. You can't apply common sense to it. But here Hezekiah done the dumb thing. He showed it all to them. Now, if they were not covetous before, if they didn't want it before, they sure wanted it after they saw it. And that's what he did. He showed it all. But verse 14, then came Isaiah the prophet unto the king Hezekiah. Isaiah comes back now. Now, Isaiah wasn't there when the king done this. He wasn't in there when he brought in the foreigners and showed them all his wealth. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. Now think about it. By the way, let me just drop this in on you. The preacher here was messing with politics. He was talking to the head politician. He was talking to the king. When some of you folks fuss at me because I rip and roar on what's going on in our country, I got good company in the Bible. I got fellows like Isaiah that walked into the White House, as it were, and told them what was what. You know, John the Baptist didn't get his head cut off for being nice to the king. Amen. He got his head chopped off because he told the king about his sin. Amen. And you say, well, it wasn't that terrible. No, it was just a shortcut for John to heaven. Right. And some of you get that later. But here these fellows came from Babylon. Isaiah said, where'd they come from? Even from Babylon. It's a far country. You know, America used to could say, oh, we got an ocean on this side, and we got an ocean on that side, and we got Canada to the north, and we got Mexico to the south, and we're just well protected. You can't say that no more. Amen. Open borders and everything else, not to mention the flying machines now and all the rest of it, and I'll get off on that again, but being in a far country don't mean nothing anymore. Right. We got terrorists one plane ticket away from America. We got them one short car ride across the Canadian border. We got them coming up from the south. If they want to walk through or swim the river or whatever they want to do, that's don't protect yourself thinking anymore, oh, they way off. No, they're not so far off. Amen. Not so far off. And so he tells them, well, they're from Babylon. Now get it in verse 15, and you say, what's this got to do with Daniel? The next verse says, and he said, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. When Nebuchadnezzar comes in the first chapter of Daniel, he's fulfilling what Isaiah the prophet said to Hezekiah the king. But also get this, verse 18, and of thy sons, that means his future kin, grandsons, and all thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt begat, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. You know who that's talking about? Talking about all the Hebrew children that were stolen away in the early verses of Daniel when Nebuchadnezzar comes in and takes them. When God makes a prophecy, it's going to be fulfilled. Now, Hezekiah was thankful that he had 15 more years. And he says so in the text. I won't read it. But he says so. He's thankful there's going to be peace in his time for 15 years. But quite frankly, in a sense, he sacrificed the permanent for the temporary. He said, I'll take it now and let somebody else pay for it later. And actually, that's what happened. And so when we get back to the book of Daniel, we are seeing then the fulfillment, not only the fulfillment of Hezekiah's day, and Isaiah's preaching to him, and Isaiah also mentions it in his own book, of course, but it was predicted even before that. And I can't take time to turn to it this morning. Maybe I'll remember to next week. But it was predicted even before that to the exact number of years that Nebuchadnezzar would keep the Jews when he captured them, when he took them away. And we'll find all that in the book of Daniel, but you find references to it in Jeremiah, Deuteronomy, other places, Leviticus, and you find out that what God has predicted took place just like he said. What he's predicted for our day and time will take place just as sure